Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. We are here live at Westminster Kennel Club in New York City, and I have found for us one of my favorite people, literally, in the sport of purebred dogs, who I have been trying to get to come on this show for 2 years. I have the text message the last time you blew me off, Carlos Puig. The wiener man is in the house.
Thank you very much. That was a hell of an introduction.
And congratulations. That was a huge win with Burns last night.
Thank you. It was fabulous. He's retiring. I couldn't have asked for a better way to go out. He just broke the record 4 weeks ago. He's the top winning long-haired dachshund in history. And that being my variety, it's like the best record I could think of having.
Yep.
I've come very close. It's a 50-year record. So I'm speechless. I'm so numb. And it is like, I can die happy now.
Well, you're not going to die because I live without you. But the other thing that I think is incredibly cool about Burns is not just the record-breaking piece. Tell us about the field piece.
Yes, he is actually a dual champion. So he has a field title.
Yes.
And he also is a junior earth dog.
Earth
so
dog.
He has a den title.
Right.
Which is very uncommon for a dachshund to have both.
Right, and they're eligible to compete in both, but not very many do, because one's about rabbits and one's about going to ground.
Yes, well, you know, they have the terrier background.
Right.
And there is a lot of terrier characteristics to the breed, which makes them different from the hound breeds, but they still have the hound characteristics. So they're kind of a happy medium of both worlds.
Right.
And yes, they definitely go underground.
And we think that Burns is the only dog of any breed in the history of Westminster Kennel Club to win a group.
That's what I
heard. He's a dual champion.
The first and only dual champion of any breed to win the group.
I think that is fabulous.
Amazing.
Absolutely fabulous. So I was telling you just a minute ago before we got on air, I have sort of my heroes in each breed, like who I go to and who I think of as like the geniuses. You are my dachshund genius.
Thank you.
You are. And so I want you to tell us all about dachshunds. Tell us about the varieties. Tell us about the coats. Tell us about the differences in the varieties.
Here in America, we have six.
Yes.
And any country that does FCI will have nine.
Nine.
And including their own dachshund group.
Wow.
They have the Knitchen, which is a smaller than our minis.
How do you get smaller than a mini?
Yeah. Here we don't have Knitchens, but we have the six varieties with the two sizes.
And there are really distinct temperament differences between the three coat varieties.
Yep, it goes back to what helped form the coat.
Okay. Where,
in a nutshell, and this has been my line that makes the most sense to the layperson or any dachshund person will agree with me. In at core, all six are dachshunds. Mm-hmm. And they all have very strong dachshund characteristics. As far as the coats, the temperaments vary. I say the smooth are the guards. They will guard you.
Yeah.
The long hairs will love you.
And they're kind of divas.
Yeah, and the wires will make you laugh.
Yes.
And in a nutshell, that is really the difference.
The smooth is the original
coat? It's the original. And all my life, when people, the spectators come to a dog show and they're like, oh, we used to have a dachshund, used to bite all the neighbors' kids and blah, blah, blah. I would always say, was it a smooth? They're like, yeah, it was.
Yes. That's been my experience with smooths, yes.
We bred a lot of that out of them, but that is the original true temperament of a dachshund. They should be afraid of nothing.
They have badgers, for Pete's
sake. Absolutely. Afraid of nothing. And that toughness is something that the breed was always known for. The smooths have gotten a lot more amiable now and a lot more friendly.
I think we've taken a lot of our breeds and taken a little bit of badge off, don't you think?
Absolutely. I asked somebody recently, off the subject, but a Rottweiler person, what has happened to the Rottweiler temperaments? When I was younger, you used to go by the Rottweiler ring and you could hear them.
Yes.
And she said, you're right. And it's a very simple answer. I said, what's that? She goes, we don't want to get our puppies back anymore. We like them to stay in their homes. And I thought about that and I said, my God, that is a very logical point.
Very good point.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we kind of keep that in the back of our mind, right? Like some of our breeds we're designed to have a little bit of an edge. And so how we bring them into today's society where that edge is not quite as easy
for
the average pet owner to manage.
Especially when they really aren't doing their original job anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's make them a more livable.
Well, right. And so there's that balance, that tipping point. Talk about that tipping point between preserving what the breed is and being able to preserve the breed because you can live with them in today's society.
Yeah, well, in dachshunds, like I said, it's been toned down, but it's still there. And there are still some that if they don't know you, you are not laying the finger on them. Mm-hmm. And they will let you know, and they mean it.
Oh, yeah. And those jaws, right? Like, talk about the strength, because I've seen them.
Very powerful. I mean, hunting a badger, they have to be very powerful jaw. We're losing a lot of the underjaw, and that's a very important feature.
Right.
The way that they're shaped to be able to curve their body, to back out. They have to be able to back out of a tunnel. The keel underneath them.
They balance on that, right?
It helps them get through like roots of trees in the dens. It helps them maneuver over those without getting stuck.
Cool.
But they're kind of like an accordion, because they can just fold themselves, and that's to help them back out. The strong, wide
rear
quarter.
Oh, my God. They've got to have a croup.
Yep. And yet, when you lay in bed with them and they curl up to the size of a little tiny donut, you really see how flexible they really are.
Right. And, I mean, particularly the standards. That's a strong dog.
Yes. Yes. And they should be.
They're low to the ground, but they're strong.
They're definitely. I mean, badgers are, you know, you don't mess with a badger. You got to be.
We're not talking here about a honey badger.
Right. And then the big misunderstanding with the minis is that people assume that the minis were bred to do what the standards were. Well, obviously, they wouldn't have been created if the standards were already there to do that job. The minis were bred for more speed, more above ground. They actually could get under bush easier.
Because they were more rabbity?
Rabbity, and they also used them to stalk out deer.
Really?
They would go right under the bush and stalk the deer. The deer would take flight, and the dachshund wouldn't get shot.
That is the coolest thing I have learned.
And they also, and again, that temperament. They weren't afraid to approach the deer.
No.
But rabbit was a big thing for them.
That is literally the coolest thing I've learned.
So they judge more on speed.
Okay. And so talk to me about heads, because I know it's supposed to be basically the same head, but you do see some differences.
Yes, it is. Technically, you're supposed to have the same dog in a smaller version.
Right.
It's literally impossible.
Right.
And our standard does not really address that as much as it should. You really don't want a miniature to be as low to the ground as a standard. In other words, if you took a standard and literally shrunk everything down, it could be dragging on the ground. So the minis have a little more leg.
Okay.
A little more refinement.
Different head
shapes. The heads are different because you've got a lot of the toy tendencies coming through. You know, they had Minpin and other toys behind them. The same thing with the wires. Until recently, the standard would allow, I shouldn't say recently, I forget how long I've been in this. It was a while ago when we changed it.
But when I was a kid,
the standard actually had wording as applied to the wire where they were allowed to be a little shorter in body, a little higher in leg. Their ears were a little higher. Their tails were a little higher. All those terrier throwbacks. Another big thing is the light hair on the top of the head.
Yes.
Thank you, the dandies.
Interesting.
Yes. Back in the day, the best wire hairs were standard long hair bitches bred to dandy Denman dogs.
And we're
first generation shown as wire hairs.
1800 something?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's how those old breeders
and
got their best.
And you weren't there, I'm pretty sure.
No, I wasn't there. But I've heard it somewhere. You were still getting those tendencies.
Right.
You don't see it as much now. But when I was a kid, we used a lot of color and get rid of that. Now you don't see much of it.
You don't have to as much.
Again, like the wires have gotten longer and lower. The tails have dropped. The ears have become houndier. So we're losing some of that terrier, the terrier physical characteristics.
Interesting. And you have been doing this for basically your whole life, right?
Yeah, over 45 years. I started when I was 11.
Right. And did your family?
No, my family was not doggy. It's a miracle that I'm here already. We bought a house in Chicago and two doors down. There were a young couple that they started with Great Danes, had no luck, and then got into dachshunds. And one of the Great Danes was a little bit psychotic and couldn't be left alone. So hence, I started house-sitting when they went to dog shows. And here I was, this little 11-year-old, walking around with these two big male Great Danes down the streets
over
of Chicago.
Right.
Oh, it was so cool, you know. Little did people know how friendly these dogs were. But and so my house sitting, I got hands-on with the dachshunds and just fell head over heels. And so I started to dog sit and help the puppies. You know, when they had litters, I would go play with them,
yes.
socialize them.
Yes.
I was grooming before I ever went to a dog show. Because my parents were like, oh, you can't leave with these people out of the state. You know, we're on Cubans, I am Cuban, are very protective. And so I was not allowed.
Yes.
So I house sat for them and worked for the money from my first dachshund from them.
Yes.
And I actually met them when their first litter was 5 days old.
Oh, my gosh.
And make a long story short, they eventually started having kids and got out of it, and I just took over.
Right.
I got their permission to keep the kennel name.
Okay.
My dogs go back to that original
that
line.
That 5-day old litter.
Yep. And actually, that 5-day first, their A litter, because we do alphabet,
right.
was the dog that I won my very, very first Best in Show on.
Are you kidding
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Because
oh
they had quit. The woman was having health issues, and they started having children, so it got harder. And they're like, why don't you go and show them? And I had a knack for it, I guess. I didn't know what I was doing. But people are like,
a little bit of a knack.
You do a great job. I'm like, okay. And anyway, that first litter was our first homebred Best in Show champion.
Awesome. And so tell me some of your mentors. Who grew you up in this sport?
Honestly, one of my biggest mentors, who probably didn't know it because we were rivals and competing, was Hannelore Heller. Because she was in my backyard and in the prime of her career. And like I said, my parents weren't doggy. But if I came home from a dog show and said I beat Hannelore, they knew exactly what that meant. So in a way, without her knowing
right,
it,
right, right.
she was
challenged
pushing me
you, right?
to get more competitive and get better at it.
Love that.
Without even, you know, I wasn't aware of it. She wasn't aware of it. I never really worked for her. It was just like it happened kind of without being planned. But to be able to beat her, I had to keep getting
yeah.
better and better and better.
And that's the best part?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So she's gone now. And after she retired and she was older, she said some absolutely beautiful things to me that I will never forget. It meant so much to me because, like I said, we're very competitive. And I was just a little, you know, kid with the dirt behind the ears. And who does he think he is? And how dare this kid beat her? And it was wonderful to hear some of the stuff that she said to me in later years. It was really touching. And in retrospect, I look back when I was young, you know, you get to a dog show and Hannelore was there, we were all be like, oh, no, Hannelore's here. And it's so funny because now I hear that about me.
Right?
I still think of myself as a little kid with a dirt behind the ears.
I know. Absolutely, totally know what you mean by
that. Goes around, comes around.
So, two more things that I want to quickly ask you about, and they kind of tie together. I describe dog handlers as falling into two different styles, right? There's the classic pianist and there's the jazz pianist. And you, my friend, are the king of the jazz pianists. Talk to me a little bit about that. You know exactly what I mean.
I know what you mean. Actually, it was funny, you reminded me a few years ago, Barbara Alderman said, all the judges have decided that you are the oldest junior handler. She's always joking. She says, I want to be a dog. It must be like grandpa room at your house.
But I love the fluidity with the dogs. The make it up as you go.
I'll tell you how it all happened. I was a very introverted, very shy child. And like I said, my family was not doggy. But they saw what these dogs were doing for me. And thank God they didn't put their foot down. They tolerated it. And honestly, I don't think I would be here if dogs hadn't come into my life. I really do believe the dogs saved my life. And I still feel that. And almost every dog that I meet or I deal with, I have this sense of gratitude because I really do believe I wouldn't be here. They saved my life. But back to I was a kid. Very, very introverted, very shy. And I loved this so much that it forced myself. So being in a crowd of people was like the worst thing you can imagine for me. I couldn't have breakfast or lunch for years at a dog show. I would be in the bathroom sick. That's how, yes.
Wow.
And so I started just to zone into the dog and zone out
yes.
the crowds.
Yes.
And it kind of stuck. And like I said in one of the interviews last night after I won the group, I said, I think in a way, I learned to communicate with dogs before I learned how to communicate with people. And it's just stuck. And I still go in the ring, and it's just like the dog and me. So it's just the bond and the engagement is so much stronger. And I really do think they feel this gratitude. So they're like, oh, we'll give it back to you.
I love watching you show dogs.
Thanks.
Because it is fun for you and it is fun for them.
I hate the robot dog.
I hate them.
And people notice this, which I appreciate when people notice, is I will take the dog's personality and feed off of that and take off with that.
Yes.
And they all have a button. And it's not going to be even the
but
same breed.
You got to go inside their
head. You got to get in their head.
You are one of the very few people, it's what I love about you, that goes inside their head.
You have to. And just like people.
Yes.
Regardless if it's a litter mate.
Yes.
There are never, ever, ever two that are exactly alike.
Absolutely not.
So what works for this litter mate could be detrimental to the other litter mate.
Absolutely true.
And if you can't pick up on that, you're going to get nowhere.
And that's the beauty of you.
The other thing is starting with dachshunds.
Yeah.
I learned how to convince them that they were doing what they wanted to do, not what I was making them do. Because dachshunds will give you the finger so fast.
Welcome to Wirehair Pointers.
Yes.
That's why you think alike.
A lot of breeds are like that. And so, in a way, starting with dachshunds was really fantastic because it helped me to learn a lot of these mental characteristics that...
Right.
It would have taken a long time if I started with this.
Absolutely true.
They are not push-button dogs. Let's put it that way.
My 60-pound Clumber Spaniel that could put his entire body weight in his head to his point his little back feet would come off the ground. It was awesome. So the final question then is the shoes. Come on, tell me about the shoes. They're fabulous. Come on. It's part of the jazz pianist, but it's Teresa Nesbitt, your client.
Teresa Nesbitt is the main backer on the long-haired Dachshund Burns. And the shoes have been good for her, too, because she was very embarrassed about this problem she has. And I hope she's okay with me saying this. She has a facial recognition issue.
She actually talked about it.
Okay. I'm learning so much about, and it's fascinating.
Right.
And, of course, initially I thought, this woman's crazy, right? Oh, no. There were so many days when she shows up at the dog show and walks right past my setup. It got to the point where I would tell the kids, there she comes. Don't move. Stand still. And she would just walk by us, and we would just, like, laugh. So she's not kidding. It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
So we spotted these shoes at the Louisville show a few years ago, and I brought them to her attention, and she liked them. And she said afterwards, would you wear those? And I'm like, oh, she doesn't know me.
Yeah.
So she got me a pair.
There you go.
And the dog started to win best in shows. So then we decided... Or she decided. It was a surprise. Every time I got another Best in Show, she showed up with
a new pair of shoes.
It got to the point where I couldn't break them in fast enough. They're all Doc Martens, and they're out there.
They're fabulous.
They're pieces of art.
They are.
But it became like a symbol with the dog.
Right.
But also, she could find me in a crowd
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's what she said to me. I can't find you, but I can hear you. And so that's how
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, honey, I'm going to let you go. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
I wish you the very best.
Thank you so much.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details.
All right, welcome back to Pure Dog Talk here at Westminster Kennel Club, live in New York City. We're at the Trupanion booth, and I have a visitor here, Dr. Beal.
Yes.
Would love to tell us how amazing Trupanion is.
Trupanion is absolutely the only insurance that I will use on my dogs and that I recommend. I'm a veterinarian.
You're a veterinarian, right?
Yes. I'm a veterinarian, and I've had a lot of problems with dog insurance companies over the years, but my own dogs are insured with Trupanion.
There you go.
And my 7.5-year-old boy, Toby, was
crying. We can do this.
Was diagnosed with cancer just after our national specialty. And Trupeni went above and beyond. He did not have surgery. I'm a veterinarian, but I don't have a CAT scan. I'm not a specialist. And they paid out over $9,000 for Toby in 3 months. They made the quality of his life to the last day so much better without me worrying about any financial stress. And you can't make this up. I don't work for Trupanion. No. They don't pay me. And when Toby passed, they sent me a letter signed by all these people that I'd spoke to at Trupanion saying, we know how much you love Toby. It's still up in my clinic. It's the kind of letter that I send to my clients. And the day I was leaving to come here to Westminster, this is Keita, my heart. Keita. Her son was three-legged lame, would not touch his leg to the ground. So I ran him to the clinic, x-rayed. I felt down his leg. There was no pain anywhere. X-rays were clean. I said, maybe he just hit it on the way in the dog door. Like, he's a doofus, giant Bernese. He just slammed his shoulder. But I made him an appointment with a surgeon for my boyfriend to take him the next day. Next day, his joint, about 4 inches from the ground, was very swollen and hot. He has pus in his joint. He has a septic arthritis.
Hey, you're a veterinarian. How do you even do that?
Well, usually you would think it's a wound, a penetrating wound, a puncture.
Right.
They shaved his leg, my beautiful show dog. They shaved his leg. Nothing. Can't even find a puncture or whatever. I was not to worry at all because the surgeon said, well, we need to knock him out. We need to flush his joint. We need to culture it. And I'm like, of course it'd be less expensive if I were doing it, but I wasn't there. Called Trupanion. Don't worry, Val. We got this. Okay, we'll open a claim for Tug. And with Toby, I got the money back in my bank within 2 days. And they now have something for my clients that they'll pay you. They say it can be as much as 90 seconds. Trupanion will calculate what their proportion is and their portion is, and they'll pay the vet direct. So you're not even out the money.
See, I think that's one of my favorite things, is they pay the vet.
So I swear I'm slightly retired now because I show my dogs a lot, but I would work for Trupanion, like, in my retirement. I mean, I just cannot say enough good things about
that. That is awesome. Thank
They're amazing.
You so much.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.